blessed assurance. Jesus is mine, and he's been my fourth man in the fire, time after time. Born of his spirit and washed in his blood, and one he did for me on Calvary is more than enough. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior. Yeah.
Amen. We like to give you a little bit of preview on Wednesday night, what's coming on Sunday, and that's going to be our pre-worship song that'll start us off this Sunday morning. So usually we try to play the one for Sunday on Wednesday night. I want to welcome those of you who are on our social media platforms, whether you're on Facebook, on YouTube, on Twitter. Be sure to heart, like, share, subscribe, follow us there, do all those things that you need to do, and commenting especially, that helps in their algorithms to get the word out. Share it, that also helps extra there too. And then welcome to those who are on the phone live streaming. If anybody needs that number, see me after the service. I'll be glad to give that to you. If you're at home and you want to share that number with someone, it's a free call. It calls their cell phone, it calls their landline phone. It doesn't cost them anything. It's a toll-free number. And so if you want that number, see me. Call the church office. We'll be glad to give that number to you so that you can get set up with that, especially for those who don't have internet service. Also, be sure you grab one of the bulletins if you didn't this past Sunday. If you're there at home, be sure to go to highlandbaptistchurch.com. It's under the info tab that you can download the worship bulletin, so be sure to get that downloaded. Also under the info tab is the children's worship bulletins. You can share those links. You can print those links. Do whatever you wish with them. The printed versions are in the windowsill over here to my right. Feel free to grab those on Sundays. Feel free to grab those on Wednesday nights. Share them with other kids that you may know in your community. And then also don't forget under that same info tabs, the prayer list. You may want to get that downloaded at home so you'll be ready to go over our prayer list at home. We'll be looking at Facebook, so if you need to give us a prayer request, please give us a live prayer request there. If you need to give us a prayer request on any of the other platforms, we'll see that later. We just won't see that during the live tonight to share that tonight, but we will get it on the prayer list. Or you can call the church office and leave that with us at the office. We'll be glad to get that on the prayer list too. Be sure to get the prayer lists. I don't see any more on this side, but I know there's some over on this side. So be sure to grab one of those if you haven't got one of those in person, if you see somebody that comes in a little bit late. Also want to remind you to do your online giving while you're on the church website there. Go to the far right-hand side, click that Give Online tab. You can do that in person, giving online, or with the offering envelopes that are in the pews in front of you. Want to remind you about the Calgary mission trip coming up at the end of July. We had three groups. We're down to two groups, so they're dropping a little bit there. So I want to encourage you to be praying for those groups, praying for the health of each person, praying for each person to be spiritually ready. I do have some prayer lists. If you're interested in getting one of those prayer lists to pray a little more specifically, I want to encourage you to see me after the service. If you're at home and you want to get one of those, call the church office. We'll be glad to send one of those out to you. This past Sunday was the last Sunday to get your baby bottles in, but if you haven't got that in, I know they will still take them at Life Choices, but please be sure to bring those back. Did we get them all?
Not quite.
39 out of 50, so there's 11 still out there. Be sure to get those back to us so we can get those to the Life Choices Pregnancy Support Center. And then coming up the last Saturday of this month on June the 28th, Chosen Road is going to be here on that evening at 7 o'clock. I want to encourage you, this information is on our social media platforms. It's in our Facebook group also. Be sure to share that with other people so that we can get the word out even more. It's in our bulletins too. It's in your newsletter. I believe also, so be sure to share that with others. That's going to be June the 28th. Just be a love offering that'll be taken for that. They will bless your hearts. They're doing a Appalachian hymn sing tour this summer, and so I want to encourage you to come and support them. And then coming up this Sunday, you don't want to miss this Sunday, our missionaries from Moldova are going to be here to share the Meritus, and they're going to be sharing in the morning service there. We also have the Lord's Supper that we're going to be doing this coming Sunday, so don't forget that for our deacons, but just remember that we'll have Lord's Supper and our missionaries here who'll be speaking. And then the following Sunday, we've asked our children's teams that went on the children's camp to share on that Sunday. So not this Sunday, but the next, they'll be sharing about kids camp. And while they're going to share about kids camp, the youth are going to be leaving for youth camp. And then they'll share a couple of weeks after that. So we want to be in prayer for them too as they're getting ready. But I know the kids had a great time. I think we had 11 kids, all girls, that went this year. And that was a wonderful, wonderful blessing of all the kids that went. So just wanted to share those things with you. Be sure to get a bulletin. Look at all the other announcements. Brother Mike, if you'll come and lead us.
Good evening, everybody. Take your hymnals and stand, because I know some of you are just itching to do that. Stand and turn to 544, and let's sing, "Redeemed, How I Love to Proclaim It." I think of my blessed Redeemer. I think of him all the day long. I sing for I cannot be silent. His love is the theme of my song. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, his child forever I am. I know I shall see in his beauty the King in whose law I delight, who lovingly guardeth my footsteps and giveth me song in the night. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, his child and forever I am.
Thank you, sir.
Okay. I was pulling up Facebook there to see if we have any prayer requests. You may want to stop me as we go through. We're going to try to give you all the prayer requests tonight and just kind of update. It's been a little bit since I've been here to go over everything. And so if you know of any updates, please share those with us. If you know of any at home, if you have any requests too, place that on Facebook so that we can make that update tonight in our time of prayer. So we're just going to start with our Highland Baptist Church family side. And we're going to start with Carolyn and S.W. Stone, Arthur Hargrove. If you stop me, I'll just go slow like that. If you stop me, if there's some update there, just blurt it out. Miss Betsy Farrell, Mark Raymond, Sandra Wells. I know she's watching with us online tonight. Miss Jewel Farrell, Bill Warren. He still has some ongoing medical issues that I know of there with his COPD and other issues there. And so does Miss Faye has some issues too. Remember Rick German in your prayers? Anybody heard an update from him? Okay, Kay Williams, still about the same. She's got some upcoming appointments that we know, so be in prayer for her for that as she goes to that tomorrow. Be in prayer for Amy Jackson. She is going to be having a biopsy on her lung nodules and gallbladder surgery on July the 2nd. She's got a port that's going to be put in next week. So keep her in your prayers for that. Some of that's going to involve her being put to sleep, and she's got several surgeries coming up almost week after week there. So be in prayer for that for her, as she has to be put under for those procedures, especially for that. We don't know yet when the biopsy on the lungs will be. That'll be sometime after they remove the gallbladder on July the 2nd. They haven't got that scheduled yet. Be in prayer for George Duncan. As far as we know, he's still about the same. Pray for Kay Fox. Know that she had some changes in medication. We did have her down as her surgery had been postponed. And I know that they put her on some different medications, and that seems to be helping so that she may not have to have the surgery that she was looking at having to have. So just keep her in your prayers that everything will continue to work well there. Keep Ken Tatum in your prayers. I'm not sure if it's maybe next week that he has his next round, but it's every 3 weeks that he'll have his cancer chemo treatment. So keep him in your prayers as he continues to deal with that, as well as for Diane in helping him out in the hip issues that she has. We have Linda Miller down, who has some ongoing blood pressure issues. They've still not got all that situated and settled for her. Be in prayer for Leanne. She has some medical issues, but she also has some issues trying to get some things covered through, I don't know if it's Medicare or Medicaid, one of those two. And so just be praying that God will open the doors there to bless, that she'll be able to get that covered and everything. And then Gordon Jackson is back at home. He was in the nursing home with rehab there for a little while, but he's back at home now. So keep him in your prayers. Any others on the Highland Baptist Church family we miss, need to add, need to update? All right, as we move over to the friends and family side, of course, we want to remember the people of Ukraine, the people of Israel. You know all the political things and the rockets that are being launched to Israel and back to Iran. So keep all those things in your prayers there and the escalations of possible war. Remember the Calgary Mission Partnership. That's what I'll be going on at the end of July. There, be in prayer for the Meredith family. They are winding up their tour through the United States and going to churches and sharing about their ministry. So they'll, I believe, be heading back sometime in July, the end of July. So keep them in your prayers. They'll be sharing more about that this coming Sunday. Be in prayer for Katie Jo Bailey. I don't have an update on her, but remember Sarah Jernigan. Remember Buddy Saunders. Miss Mamie Thompson, that's Amy Raymond's mom. Remember Ryan Bond. Remember Yvonne Ortiz, Kim Tucker, Charles Miller, Andy Taylor, Kay Goff, the Ray family. I remember Crystal Schroyer, Cody Kohler, Barbara Prince, who is Ann Smith's aunt. Glenn and Mary Leibig, who are Linda Smith's parents, and we know that he's been in hospice care, so we know that's probably just a matter of days and weeks for him. So keep him in your prayers. Be in prayer for Samantha's sister, Carrie, and her husband, Pat. He worked with USAID, and you know with all the stuff with that's come to an end, so be in prayer for them and all the transition things they're going through. She works still with the State Department in Haiti, and that's a high-risk area also. So keep both of them in your prayers, and right now they're having to be apart from one another, so keep them in your prayers. I remember Delilah and Callahan Garmany, both of these kids, their brother and sister, they both have the identical issues with their hearing and have had to have surgeries. So continue to keep them in your prayers as they continue to heal from that. Remember this Virginia Counts. This is Ella Thames' mother. She watches every service that we have live, and so we praise the Lord that she's watching tonight. She has been recovering from a fall. We'll be talking to Ella when she comes for choir practice tonight. We may be able to remove her from the prayer list, but we want to get an update from Ella on her. Remember Jimmy Hasty. Remember our music search committee. Remember Jack Young with cancer. Tom Watson, he is still having some ongoing issues. He's not in the hospital though right now. So he's at home now, so he's not in the hospital, but he still has some limitations, and Mindy asked if we would continue to keep him on the prayer list. Remember Kinsley Williams. This is a niece of Zach Brazier. And then the family of James Stringfield, Mike's dad, and Mike's family in the passing of his dad. Any others? All right. I don't see any others on Facebook. The nursing home assisted living list is Miss Bertie Davis, Beverly Daniels. We understand that Miss Beverly had been moved to NHC for some rehab, but we understand she's supposed to go back to Morning Point. We just don't know yet if she's done that, been able to go back yet. So keep her in your prayers. And I know she's been watching some or listening some on the phone live streaming. Remember Hoyt Farrell, who's in Legacy Nursing Home over in Manchester, and then Miss Mary Lee Stringfield in the Lynchburg Nursing Home. Any others that we've missed? Any other prayer requests you may have? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer then, and we'll get right to our Bible study in the book of Isaiah. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you so much. What a blessing it is to be in your house, to worship you. Lord, we don't take the freedom that we have for granted, and I just pray, God, that every person who is here in person, every person who is watching online or listening through their telephone, or even those who may watch this later, Lord, would receive a wonderful blessing in their heart and their lives. Lord, that you will use this message tonight to convict our hearts of any sin in our hearts, but also to encourage us that even in the midst of all the discouraging things we see around us, in all the midst of the darkness and discouragement we see in our own lives at times, I pray, God, that we will find our strength in you, and you will sustain us in everything that we do. To do that, Lord, we first need to know you as our Lord and Savior. And so I pray, God, for those who may be hearing, those who may be here who don't know Christ as their Lord and Savior, I pray that this message will share the gospel into their hearts, that seed of the gospel would be planted in their lives, and that you would use it, Lord, to bring them to faith in Christ. Father, for those of us who are in Christ, I pray, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, first also by bringing out any sin in our hearts that we might need to confess before you. You have told us over and over in your word about sin and how it hinders our prayers, how it separates our relationship with you and our fellowship with you. And so, Father, I pray that you would convict us of any sin, whether it's in our thoughts, in our actions, in our deeds, if it's, Lord, things maybe we didn't do that we should have done, because you've told us if we know to do good and we don't do it, that also is sin. So forgive us, Lord, of all of our sin. We want our prayers to be heard. We want our prayers to be powerful. We want our prayers to be effectual. And so, Father, we come before you tonight and ask God for you to restore us to a right relationship with you, bring those who are without Christ into that relationship. Lord, that as we come before you in prayer, you would hear our prayers on the behalf of others especially. Lord, we're not just praying for physical needs here. We're especially praying for spiritual needs. We know, Lord, that even if you heal all of these individuals who are on this list, even if you heal our lives, even if you restore whatever brokenness may be in our hearts, one day death will come for every one of us. And Lord, I pray that in that day when it comes, it would not be a negative thing, it would not be a bad thing, it would be a glorious thing, that we're just entering into your presence, into heaven for eternity. And so, Father, I pray that you will comfort our hearts to know that. And Father, I pray that you will help us to live in the truth of that. And as we pray, may that be the characteristic of our prayers. We want your will to be done. You've told us in your word that if we ask according to your will, those things will be done. And so we pray, God, for your will to be done in each one of these individuals' life. We pray, God, that your will would be to heal each and every one of these that we've mentioned by name, maybe others that we didn't mention, maybe their family members that we didn't mention who are caregiving for them. Lord, we just ask that you will divinely intervene in each one of these people's lives to bring the physical healing they need, to restore and encourage those who are caregiving for them, and for those who are going through these difficulties physically, that you will give them strength and encouragement to keep pressing on, to not give up, to keep trusting in you, even if they still have to face times of suffering. Father, I pray that we would surrender everything and all that we have and all that we are to you. Lord, we pray tonight that you would be with each one of these. Maybe there's some other spiritual needs that are here. Maybe some of these people don't know Christ. We pray, God, that you will use the situations they're going through to help them to see there's only one place of hope for them, and that's at the foot of the cross with Jesus as their Lord and their Savior. But Father, I pray that you would just continue to have your hand upon them, to continue to lead each person and to guide them. Use us as a church in whatever way that we can to come alongside them, to encourage these individuals, to help them through these difficulties. But I pray most importantly, they would lean upon you and they would see and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ as we minister to them. Father, we pray for your will to be done in a glorious and mighty way. Father, we pray for our youth who are meeting tonight, that you'll continue to give them a hunger and a thirst for you, continue to give them a passion for learning more about you, not just learning about you, but also serving you and being committed to serve you. I pray that as they're getting ready in their hearts to go to youth camp, Lord, that you'll begin even now preparing their hearts to receive the word of God, to receive the transformation that needs to happen into many of their hearts and lives, to be all that you would have them to be. We pray also, Lord, that you would be with our children who are not here with our Awana ministry throughout the summer as we get ready for that to restart again in September. Father, I pray that you'll continue to restore and refresh our teachers, our workers, our leaders. Give them a refreshment, Lord, a rejuvenated enthusiasm to be ready to serve once again as the school year begins and they're in September for our WANA program. We pray, God, that you'll continue to be with those kids and continue, God, to help them to recall and to remember those scriptures that they've been memorizing all throughout the year, to help them, Lord, to make right choices, to bring glory and honor to your precious name. So, Lord, as we come tonight in our adult time of Bible study and prayer here, I pray as we come to study the book of Isaiah once again, may you speak your truth into our hearts. I pray that this passage would be extremely relevant to our hearts and to our lives, where we are today, where we are in our culture even today. And I pray, God, that it will be an encouragement to us as it was to the nation of Israel from Isaiah during that time when they were about to go into the exile. So bless your word tonight. May it go forth. May it not return void. In Jesus' name. Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 51. Isaiah 51. If you'll remember the last time I brought you the word of Isaiah, I was on my storm chasing trip, and it was in North Alabama. I forget the name of the park that I was even at on the lake there, but I shared with you about the darkness and the hope in the darkness that Christ brings to us. And as there was dark days that were coming for the nation of Israel, the warning that was given to us there in chapter 50, he encouraged them. And you'll see that all throughout the Old Testament, especially in the prophecies. Many times people talk about the Old Testament and say, well, it seems like the Old Testament's full of bloody battles and people being killed and God's judgment. And where is God's love and where is God's hope? And yet, it is always there if we're looking for it. You can close your eyes to the things if you want to. And in fact, that's what happened to people in the days of Jesus, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Herodians, all those who supposedly studied the Scripture, who knew the Scripture. They ignored things from the Word of God, especially in the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah is the most quoted book in the New Testament. It is the most quoted book by Jesus himself. And so what they tended to want to focus on in Jesus's day is the Messiah coming as the conquering king. And he is coming as that. Isaiah talks about that. But that's in his second coming, not in his first coming. In his first coming, he was to come as a suffering servant. And Isaiah is fixing to give us a lot about that as we enter into these last chapters of the book of Isaiah. It's hard to believe we're getting closer and closer to the end of the book of Isaiah with 66 chapters. And so we're getting closer than we've ever been before. So in these verses that we're going to be looking at, I've entitled this message tonight, Are You Listening? Let me ask you that. Are you listening? Not just here with your ears, hearing the words that I'm audibly speaking. Are you listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit in your hearts and in your lives? That's the message that Isaiah is giving to the nation of Israel overall here, is are you listening? And what he's asking them here, what he's giving them here, is a call to remember, a call to remember. And that's what we're going to talk about here in chapter 51. So in these verses, God speaks to his people with a voice that is both commanding and a voice that is comforting when he says, listen to me. So when he says, listen to me, it's not an option. He's commanding us, he's commanding them, the people of Israel, to listen to him. But he's also giving them that as a word of encouragement. Listen to me. You need to hear what I'm about to say through my prophet Isaiah. So those words rang out to the Jewish exiles in Babylon and would ring out to the Jewish exiles in Babylon because when they get to Babylon, if you remember, Jerusalem, the northern kingdom, has already been taken and destroyed by the Assyrians. And then the Assyrians came down and had surrounded everything but Jerusalem. We're not able to take Jerusalem. God destroyed 185,000 in one night. That was in earlier chapters we looked at in Isaiah. They had to flee back to Assyria. And the Babylonians saw it as an opportunity then to come in and to take over where the Assyrians left off. And when the Babylonians come in, they do take Jerusalem. And they destroy the temple. They destroy Jerusalem. And they take many people from the Jewish land there in Judah into captivity. They take the young, the brightest. They take the people like Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so we see here that when that happens and Jerusalem is destroyed and the nation of Judah is destroyed, the temple is destroyed, all of their hopes are buried under the rubble of Jerusalem. In their hearts, in their minds, it's over. There is no more hope. How can we possibly go back? They've destroyed everything that we had. That beautiful temple that Solomon had built, gone, razed to the ground. And all their hopes buried under that rubble of Jerusalem.
And because of that, their hearts were heavy with despair. And yet, God's same call that he gives to them echoes to us today. That those who seek him, those who long for righteousness amidst the dark days that we face, that call is to us, listen to me. Because here's the important lesson we need to learn. If you haven't learned it yet, it's been said many times throughout history. If you don't learn from history, you're doomed to repeat it again. And that's what we see would happen here for the nation of Israel. That's what would happen for us if we don't listen, if we don't learn from God's word. And so he tells us to look. Where does he tell us to look? He tells us to remember the rock from which we were hewn. We'll see that in these verses. The place we were carved from and fashioned from, the rock of God's past mercies. In our darkest moments, when our faith falters and the whole world, the weight of the world presses in on us so hard, God offers a bright light of truth here in his word, an encouraging word, the memory of his unchanging faithfulness. And so he calls for us, as he's calling for the nation of Israel here, to lift our eyes from the struggles that we face and to fix our eyes on God's promises, on God's power, and on his past victories. And so whether you're feeling outnumbered today, or you're feeling overwhelmed, or you're feeling discouraged, this passage is going to remind us that the God who created righteousness from nothing can and will do it again. And so as we look at these verses, you can hear his voice, and you can find hope in looking back to the God who has never failed us. So the first thing I want you to see is this, the call to remember God's faithfulness in verse 1 through verse 6. The call to remember God's faithfulness. We've already mentioned briefly there the first call that he gives us to remember, and that's to remember the rock. Remember the rock. Look at verse 1 down through verse 3. So he begins there, and you'll see this phrase continued throughout the chapter here. He says, "Listen to me. You who pursue righteousness, you who seek the Lord, look to the rock from which you were hewn and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah who bore you, for he was but one when I called him, that I might bless him and multiply him. For the Lord comforts Zion, he comforts all her waste places, and makes her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the voice of song." So notice there, God addresses and he says, you who pursue righteousness, you who seek the Lord. So understand that these are his remnant that he's speaking to. Back then, it was the exiles who were yearning for restoration. So this is a message not only to the people before they go into the exile, it's a message to them that when you get over there into the exile, they're going to be there for 70 years in this exile. He's already told them how long you're going to be there. So that's good to know, and that's hopeful, because there at least is an end in sight. You know it's not going to last forever. Understand that about your trials and your tribulation and your discouragement. It doesn't last forever, because ultimately, even if it lasts your whole lifetime here on this earth, ultimately in heaven it'll be no more. And so you'll be without all that pain and all that suffering and all that discouragement. So there is an end to our pain and our suffering and our discouragement. So it's a message to us too. Back then it was the exiles, they're yearning for restoration. For us as believers, pressing toward holiness in a world that often despises our faith, it's a message to us also. To them, God says in verse 1 and verse 2, he says, "Look to the rock from whence you were hewn, and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham your father, and to Sarah who bore you." So who is the rock? What is the rock that he's talking about in verse 1 there? Look to the rock from whence you were hewn. Well, he gives us that answer in verse 2 and tells us that it's Abraham. Abraham is the rock. Sarah is the quarry. Now, what's a quarry? A quarry is the rock mine, if you will, where the rock is mined from, where the stone is mined from. That's the place, if you will, that was given birth to the nation of Israel. They were old. They were barren. They had no hope of having a child. And what did God do? God worked a miracle where there seemed to be no way and gave them Isaac. And from that single seed of Isaac, God began to carve out a nation. The exiles, feeling small and scattered during that time of the exile, they needed this reminder that the God who created from nothing could rebuild Zion into a garden of joy, just like Eden was. That's encouraging to us, to know that no matter how bad things get, God can take all of that bad in your life and he can work it out for your good and for his glory. That's what Romans 8:28 tells us about. The same God who created this earth, your problems are not too big for him to handle. So let me ask you, do you feel weak? Do you feel outnumbered? Do you feel forgotten? Then the Bible tells us here, look to the rock. Who is our rock? Jesus Christ. So look to Jesus. So remember how God has worked in your past. Remember the moment that he met you in your sin, because you were like you were lost like the prodigal son, hungering for the husks. If you remember in Luke chapter 15 and verse 16 through the beginning of verse 20, you remember the story there about the prodigal son. It says he was longing to be fed with the pods, with the husks of the corn that the pigs ate, and nobody gave him anything. Verse 17 says, but when he came to himself, and said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger. He said, I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And verse 20 says, he arose and came to his father. What caused him to come to that place of verse 20 where he arose and he came to his father? He remembered. He remembered, and in remembering, he came to himself. So it said, when it says he came to himself, it reminds us there that he remembered his father's faithfulness. He remembered his father's grace and mercy, and he decided to return to him. That remembering drew him to the Father's presence. Just like for us, when we remember God's faithfulness all throughout our lives, it draws you to God's heart. I mean, think of the times that God has delivered you. We've been praying here through our prayer list for people who've been sick. Maybe you've been sick before and you had those prayers offered up for you. You remember how God delivered you through sickness, or maybe through sorrow, or maybe through times of doubt. You maybe doubted your salvation. You doubted, where is God? And yet you prayed to God and God saw you through the situations that you went through. So understand, those memories that you have, they're not just stories. They are beacons of God's grace that are shining into your present situations of gloom and darkness. The God who was faithful then is faithful now, and he will be faithful forever. What a truth for us to rest upon and to remember. Remember the rock. Remember Jesus Christ and what he did for you and how he saved you from your sin. But then also, he's asking us to remember something else. You find it in verse 3 down through verse 6. Remember the comfort of God's faithfulness. Remember the comfort of God's faithfulness. Look at verse 3 down through verse 6. He says, for the Lord God comforts Zion. He comforts all her waste places, and makes her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the voice of song. Give attention to me. What's another way to say that? Listen to me. Listen to me, my people, and give ear to me, my nation. For a law will go out from me, and I will set my justice for a light to the peoples. My righteousness draws near. My salvation has gone out. My arms will judge the peoples. The coastlands hope for me, and for my arm they wait. Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look at the earth beneath. For the heavens vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and they who dwell in it will die in like manner. But my salvation will be forever, and my righteousness will never be dismayed. Why is it that God calls us to remember? Because looking back creates hope for what lies ahead. Think about that. When Abraham and Sarah were old and childless, God had worked a miracle in giving them Isaac. And from that one child, he built a nation. But you remember that they were put in captivity in Egypt. They were enslaved in Egypt. And yet, even in that time, God multiplied them into a mighty people. And he led them back to the promised land, back through the Red Sea. He's saying, remember all of that. And so now, as exiles, or what they're fixing to be as exiles in Babylon, they're going to feel weak. They're going to feel like a scattered remnant. Their hopes are going to be dashed with Jerusalem in ruins. And all they could see is the ruins, and yet God promises, I will make Zion like Eden. I don't know about you, but the greatest thing you could think of in going through any garden, maybe you've been through botanical gardens before, and you've seen how beautiful they can be and how well manicured they can be. Nothing would compare to the Garden of Eden. What a beautiful place that would be. And he says, I will restore Zion like Eden, and you will be filled with joy and worship. In the moment they're going through it, they're thinking, how in the world are we going to have joy? How in the world am I going to have worship when I'm hurting, when I'm in my pain, when I'm in discouragement? And that's where you may be even tonight. And you're wondering, how can I have this kind of joy in that kind of place, in that kind of situation? And so what he does here is he points them to Abraham, to say, I did it before, I can do it again. The same God who had multiplied a barren couple into a mighty nation would gather his people from exile and ultimately from all nations through Jesus Christ. That's what verse 5 is talking about. My righteousness draws near, my salvation has gone out, and my arms will judge the peoples, will judge the nations, the coastlands hope for me, and for my arm they wait. And so the message isn't just really just for the nation of Israel. It's for us today. It's for the world today. And so he would take from this barren couple, form a mighty nation, gather his people from exile. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 tells us that as John speaks about heaven, he says, after this I looked and behold a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes, from all peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands. And that's Revelation chapter 7 and verse 9. Then you read verse 6 in chapter 51 here, and it tells us that his salvation, God's salvation, is unlike anything else. It's unlike the heavens. I mean, there's some storms that are moving this way right now. You know what? Those storms are going to come, and those storms are going to pass, and those storms are going to go. They may leave destruction sometimes in their wake, but eventually those storms go. Clouds dissipate. Storms go on. And he says here that unlike the fleeting heavens, his salvation endures forever. So here's one thing we need to learn, is that when your soul, when your heart is cast down, let your memories about God's faithfulness be your anchor. You may not know how in the world you're going to get through this. You may still have feelings of discouragement, but you make God's faithfulness be your anchor in the midst of the storm. Think about it. Have you known God's peace in the past storms of life? Has he answered prayers in your life that maybe at one time you thought were impossible? How in the world are we going to make it through this week or through this month with the bills? And you prayed about that and God answered. Or maybe you were facing some physical illness and you thought maybe this is the end. Maybe this is all that there is. There's nothing possible that can possibly come good out of this. And you prayed and God answered things that you thought were impossible. If he did those things then trust him now. Maybe you're wrestling with temptation. Maybe you're facing the mockery of your faith or grieving a loss. Look to the rock, Jesus, the true rock. In fact, the New Testament tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4, it says, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. Christ is the rock that can help you to weather any storm of your life. So look to Jesus, who bore your sins. Look to Jesus, who rose from the dead to give you eternal life. His cross is the quarry from which your salvation was hewn. Every mercy that he has shown in your past is a promise that God will carry you through today's shadows in his eternal light. And so as a church, as Christians, this is your story too. You know, we may feel like sometimes as Christians, as a minority in this world, where people mock our faith and we have all kind of pressures to conform to this world, but the same God who created a nation from that barren couple will gather his people from every corner of the earth. And understand this, he's not done yet. When you read about the things that are going on in Israel and Iran, and you think about the things that are going on in Russia and China, and you think about the things that are going on across the United States and in many other places, understand this, God's not done yet. He's not done yet. So when you're tempted to despair, to get discouraged, look to the rock. God's faithfulness in the past. He turned a barren woman into a nation. He crucified Savior into a risen King, and he can turn your brokenness into beauty. Ashes into beauty. Feed your faith on his promises. Feed your faith on his word, because his word is more permanent than the ground beneath your feet. That's what verse 6 is saying. Second thing we learn is in verse 7 through 11. We need to take the courage to press on. The people needed to know that going into this exile, that they needed to have the courage to keep pressing on. We're called to remember that God will make a way where there seems to be no way. Remembering God's faithfulness does more than just comfort us. It emboldens us. It gives us courage. These exiles, they face taunts by their captors. You can read this over in the Psalms. They sang about this even. In Psalm 137 in verse 3, here's what they said about their captors, about their enemies. He said in Psalm 137 verse 3, "For there are captors." When we were in Babylon, they required of us songs, and our tormentors mirth, saying, "Sing us one of the songs of Zion." What they were doing was taunting them. You think about some of the great songs that you know. Think about the faithfulness of God in those songs. You think about trusting in God in those songs. And their captors were saying, "Why don't you sing one of those songs now? Can you sing a happy song in the midst of your suffering, in the midst of your pain? Why don't you sing one of those songs of mirth, those songs that you used to sing there in Zion?" And that just began to, like a knife piercing in their heart. It's all gone. And yet God assures them that their tormentors are going to fade like moth-eaten cloth. Let's look at verse 7 and verse 8. Again, he says, here's those words again, "Listen to me, you who know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear not the reproach of man, nor be dismayed at their revilings. For the moth will eat them up like a garment, and the worm will eat them like wool. But my righteousness will be forever, and my salvation to all generations." For us today, the world may scoff at us and say, "Where is your God?" I mean, we see all the evil in this world. We see the evil things people do. Where is your God? Or as 2 Peter says, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 4 says, they will say, "Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation." So where is the promise? Where is Jesus? If you said he's coming again, why hasn't he come for the last 2,000 years? And they use it as a taunt. Satan may whisper in your mind and in your heart that your faith is meaningless. But when you look to the rock, you can find the courage to stand firm. Because the God who parted the Red Sea and crushed Satan through Jesus' resurrection is with you. So look at what he says in verse 9 and verse 10. He brings their memory back
to some of the events that they would have recounted to their children and to their children's children that they had learned from their parents and their grandparents and their great-grandparents throughout the year. Verse 9 says, "Awake, awake. Put on strength, have courage, O arm of the Lord. Awake as in days of old, the generations of long ago. Was it not you who cut Rahab in pieces, who pierced the dragon? Was it not you who dried up the sea and the waters of the great deep, who made the depths of the sea a way for the redeemed to pass over? God, you're the one who parted the Red Sea." In the New Testament, he's the one who crushed Satan through Jesus' resurrection. Know this, he's with you, and he calls to you, pursue righteousness, seek him. Don't fear what man can do to you, but with confidence, be confident in your eternal purpose. As Christians, we need to let our memories of God's faithfulness fuel our steps one day at a time, one moment at a time, one step at a time. When you're tempted in your heart to shrink back, remember how God delivered you before. When you're trying to share the gospel with somebody else and you feel overwhelmed, remember, as verse 16 will say, that he put his words in your mouth. Your trials are temporary, but his righteousness is forever. And so he calls us to lift up our eyes from our struggles and to fix our eyes on his promises. Where are his promises? Here in his word. To fix our eyes on his power, to remember God's faithfulness throughout your life, and to remember those past victories. So whether you're feeling outnumbered or overwhelmed or discouraged, this passage reminds us that the God who created righteousness from nothing will do it again. Lift your eyes from the shadows and press on towards the joy that's set before you. What is our joy that's set before us? It's a new heaven and a new earth where one day we are going to sing his praises forever and ever. Verse 11 says, "And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing." What a great hope that was. That even though they were going to be in this exile, he's promising them, you're going to come back, and you're not going to come back and look at all this destruction and be, "Whoa, Moses, we just ain't never going to make it around here." Sometimes we act like that, don't we? He says, you're going to come back, and you're going to come back with singing. In Zion, everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Oh, that we would have that experience in our heart and our lives, that the sighing and the sorrow would flee away because of the joy and the gladness in our hearts. And it can, when you keep your eyes focused on where you're going. You're just passing through here. This is not your home. If you're a Christian, heaven is your home. And one day you're going to sing his praises forever there. But remember this next point. Remember to fear God, not man. He will establish eternity through you. Notice verse 12 down through verse 16. He says, I am he who comforts you. There's I am. The an I am statement would remind them he's the covenant God. He's the one who spoke to Moses when Moses said, "Who shall I tell them that sent me?" What did he tell Moses? "Tell them I am has sent you, their God." And so he says, I am he who comforts you. You that are afraid of man who dies, of the Son of Man who is made like grass, and have forgotten the Lord your Maker, who stretched out the heavens and laid the foundations of the earth, and you who fear continually all day because of the wrath of the oppressor when he sets himself to destroy. And where is the wrath of the oppressor? He who is bowed down shall speedily be released. He shall not die and shall go down to the pit, neither shall his bread be lacking. I am the Lord your God, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. I have put my words in your mouth and covered you in the shadow of my hand, establishing the heavens and laying the foundation of the earth, and saying to Zion, saying to the people of Israel, you are my people. And he says that to you because if you're a Christian today, you've been bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ and you are his. He says, I'm the one who comforts you. So notice the tone of God shifts to a righteous indignation. How dare you fear man more than me? I'm the one who comforts you. Mere humans, they wither like grass, and yet we often live in fear of what other people think.
We live in fear of their power, and yet God reminds us that He's the creator who stirs the sea. He's the one who rules every day. And He speaks intimately to His people there in verse 16. What an amazing statement. God isn't just saving us. He's using us to establish His eternal kingdom. Through the gospel that we carry, through the word of God that we share with others, He's planting a new heaven and a new earth. So why fear man? So think about that coworker you have who maybe ridicules your faith, or the culture that calls your values outdated. All that's temporary. God's purposes through you are eternal. So we need to stop shrinking back. We need to share the gospel boldly, because God has covered us in His hand, and He has given you in your heart the very words to speak. So remember to wake up. Remember to wake up, because He says your tormentors, those Babylonians, they're going to fall. Notice verse 17 down through the end of the chapter. Wake yourself. Wake yourself. Stand up, O Jerusalem. You have drunk from the hand of the Lord the cup of His wrath, who have drunk to the dregs the bowl, the cup of staggering. There is none to guide her among all the sons she has borne. There is none to take her by the hand among all the sons she has brought up. These two things have happened to you. Who will console you? Devastation and destruction, famine and sword, who will comfort you? Your sons have fainted. They lie at the head of every street like an antelope in a net. They are full of the wrath of the Lord, the rebuke of your God. Therefore, hear this. Are you listening? You who are afflicted, you who are drunk but not with wine. So He's not talking about drunkards here. He's talking about you've lost your whole focus. You're like a drunk person who has no control of his faculties, because you're fearing what man could do to you instead of trusting in God. Therefore, hear this, you who are afflicted, who are drunk but not with wine. Thus says your Lord, the Lord your God, who pleads the cause of His people. Behold, I have taken from your hand the cup of staggering, the bowl of my wrath. You shall drink no more. He said, I told you I was going to punish you because of your unfaithfulness to me. And He did. 70 years they would be in this exile. But He says, I'm going to take that from you. I'm going to take my wrath, and you won't drink it anymore. And He says, I will put it into the hand of your tormentors, who have said to you, bow down that we may pass over. And you have made your back like the ground and like the street for them to pass over. So finally, God reminds His people that their exile was His judgment, a cup of wrath that they drank to the dregs. What's the dregs? It's to the last drop. But now that time is over, He says. That time is going to be over, and I'm going to give that to your tormentors, and they're going to fall. And what this is pointing to is the ultimate judgment of God's enemies. So think about that. All of your enemies, the people who have ridiculed you, the world who is against us, one day God's judgment is going to come of them. So as the church, this is a wake-up call. The world's hostility towards God's people is real, but it's not the final word. Those who oppress or mock God's remnant will face God's justice. And for us, that means perseverance. Don't grow weary in pursuing righteousness, seeking to live for the Lord. Keep seeking the Lord, even when it's costly. Because the day is coming when every knee, even your enemies' knees, will bow before Jesus, and will stand with Him in a world made anew. So what's the application for us, living in the light of God's promises? How do we respond to this powerful word from God? Three quick things, some of it you've already heard. Feed your faith on God's word and on the works of God. Feed your faith on God's word and His works. So when life feels bleak, look to the rock, look to Jesus, look to the Word of God. Remember those past experiences with God, God's past miracles in Scripture and in your life. Read about Abraham, read about Exodus, read about the cross, and let those truths fuel your hope. God's Word is more enduring than the heavens. Make time to listen to God daily through the Scriptures and through prayer. So feed your faith on God's Word and God's work. Secondly, fear God, not man. Whether that's in evangelism or that's simply in obedience. We need to repent of fearing humans' opinions more than God's. Are we silent about our faith because of what others might think? Understand this. What did he say in verse 16? He's put his words in your mouth for you to share. So share the gospel courageously. Trust that he'll cover you, that he'll protect you. Step out in obedience, whether it's forgiving somebody who's hurt you, or whether it's serving sacrificially, or whether it's standing for truth. We need to fear God, not man, in evangelism and in obedience. And then thirdly, we need to live for eternity, not for the present. This world is going to pass away, but God's righteousness and God's salvation are forever. So let that shape your priorities. Pursue righteousness, seek the Lord, and invest in what lasts. What is it that lasts? The two great commands: love God and love others. And when your mockers scoff, "Where is your God?" as 2 Peter 3:4 says, then point them to Jesus. Point them to Jesus, who's coming to make all things new. God is calling us today, just like he did the Israelites, and he's saying, are you listening? Listen to me. The God who created a nation from nothing, the God who parted the Red Sea, the God who raised Jesus from the dead, is the same God who holds you in his hands now. And so no matter how weak you may feel, no matter how outnumbered you may feel, he will multiply his people, he will establish justice, and he will bring you home to a new creation filled with joy. So look to the rock, trust his promises, fear him alone, and wake up to live boldly for his kingdom. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for this powerful word in Isaiah 51. Help us, Lord, to listen to you. Help us, Lord, to trust, not in our experience, not in us, but to trust in your past faithfulness to fuel our hope. Lord, forgive us for fearing others more than we fear you. And Lord, give us the courage to share the gospel with people around us. Lord, keep our eyes on the new heaven and the new earth that you're preparing for us, knowing, Lord, that this place is not our home. Heaven is our home. So strengthen us, God. Strengthen us to pursue your righteousness. Strengthen us, Lord, to keep seeking you, no matter the cost. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining with us tonight, especially you at home, whether you're on any one of those social media platforms. Let me just double check here and make sure. I don't see any prayer requests there, but saw some people who were watching. So thank you so much for watching there with us. We'll look forward to seeing you Sunday, 9:15 for Sunday school, 10:30 for worship. Don't forget, this Sunday we have the Lord's Supper, as well as our missionaries from Moldova will be here to share. You don't want to miss either one of those things. It's going to be a great time of worshiping the Lord. But you have a blessed week, a safe week, and we'll see you this coming Sunday.